So we're excited for those guys. And let's just take a moment. Let's ask God to bless our time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for the day that you've given us. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for another day of life on this earth. We praise you, God, for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, for the miraculous things that you do in our life, Lord, to sustain us, Lord, even from death. And we want to give you thanks and praise, dear God, for everything, Lord, that you are doing in our lives. Father, I just want to ask, Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, I ask that you would just focus our minds, focus our hearts, dear God, on this idea of being thankful, the idea of giving you praise, Lord, because you alone deserve that. Lord, I ask that you would just take away the distractions this morning, which are probably many, and I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts, Lord, to better understand, Lord, to model after someone, Lord, who was a great worshiper. And I ask, dear God, that we would be able to give you thanks and praise, Lord, and really focus our mind over the next 30 days on just thanking you, Lord, for all the things, Lord, that you do for us. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yes, last year we did a series last year, this time last year, called 30 Days of Thanksgiving and Praise. And this is the 2025 version. And I'm going to throw this out. How many of you guys wake up every morning and are just so full of Thanksgiving? That one or two of you, I think they're telling the truth. I'm not sure. I think they are, right? But think about this, right? A lot of times we wake up in the morning, it's just like, oh. You know, we start our day out with that, right? But what we want to talk about today is some fuel that will get you and get me to think about all the blessings and all the things that God gives us when it comes to Thanksgiving. And, you know, I stole the words of an old hymn, praising the one from whom all blessings flow. And in fact, in the book of James, it says this, right? It says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. In other words, God never changes his mind, and he just wants to bless us, and he wants to cause even greater worship for himself because he deserves it. And we're going to kind of focus on that today. Next week, Pastor Ansu will preach. The following week, Guy Manat's going to preach. And the fourth week, guess what? All of you are going to preach. It's going to be a long service right now. But here's the deal, right? What we want to hear from you guys is, on the last week, we want to hear some hymn requests, like music that just blesses your heart and causes you to want to praise and thank God. So Rosemary, we're going to publish a list I think it's next week or the week after. A list's going to come out. Here's sort of the universe of things that you could pick that's just going to be a blessing. Songs that help us to prime our Thanksgiving. And by the way, if anyone, and I know there's probably a bunch of you, would like to share a testimony next week or the week after that, we'd like to schedule that right into our program if we can. And then last week, you know, we're going to have a time, there's no formal preacher. It's all of you just sharing the blessings and the harvest of praise of what God has done. All right? So we want you guys to be involved. Sign up on the board for that testimony time, and we'll give you the hymn information /praise and worship songs, and you can share that back to us as well. All right? So we're going to begin today. So let's stop and think about 30 days of Thanksgiving and praise. And I want to think about this for a second. Can you think of one of the great worshipers in the Bible? Who would you think about as one of the great worshipers? David, right? By the way, David is a great worshiper, and he was a man after God's own heart. He was the king. He was also a great sinner like us, right? Thank God, right? Like God gave us real examples of people that walked away from God many times but kept coming back to God. So, you know, David was a liar, he was a murderer, he was an adulterer, but yet he came right back to the God who was his strength. And he wrote many psalms that brought praise to God. We're going to look at one of them today. And by the way, we're going to look in the book of 1 Chronicles. You're probably saying, well, why aren't we looking in Psalms? This passage, by the way, in 1 Chronicles is split over three psalms in the Psalms. It's in the Psalms as well. So we're going to dig in this morning, and I want you to stop and just think about this. What would an accomplished king with so much? Like, David is the king of all Israel. Israel was in its heyday at that time. He could do anything. And what would he do about Thanksgiving? And David literally stopped, and he gave thanks and praise to God. And we're going to look at that. So let's take a look at what God's word says about that. So here's a thought I want you guys to take away, right? Stop with me and think about, what are some of the good gifts that you're really grateful for right now? Just think about it. Think of a good gift that you're thankful for, right? It might be your wife, your husband, your children. It might be, you know, whatever it might be right now. But just think about that and realize that every gift that we enjoy comes from God, and he alone deserves our praise. And we're going to slide on down. And we'll talk about this occasion for praise. And I want you guys to turn to 1 Chronicles. And just got to give you guys perspective, right? 1 Chronicles, by the way, what's 1 Chronicles follow? You can say it out loud. Go say it. Yeah, as we kind of study the Old Testament, we're kind of like, wow, I got to think about that for a second, right? So if you go 1 Chronicles, it follows 2 Kings. So there's 1 Kings and there's 2 Kings. There's not 3 Kings. There's 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, right? They're like historical books of the Old Testament about the kings over Judah and over Israel, because the kingdom ultimately divided, you know, which was a sad thing for Israel. But, you know, God worked through these men as kings to do some great things. And 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles kind of give us that whole history of what took place. In the midst of all of that history, God interjects the heart of David and the song that he wrote as praise to God. So we're going to begin this morning. Let's just go to 1 Kings chapter 16, and we're going to go to verse 1. And I want to start out with this. By the way, when do we praise God? Hopefully all the time. But when do we praise God? A lot. In the morning. All right, how about this? We praise God a lot when something amazing happens in our lives, right? Like Pastor Ansu, by the way, Pastor Ansu, I talked to him last week. He was in the car accident, you know, on Thursday, right? And, you know, took him to the hospital, stayed with him for several hours. And, you know, we're like, all the deacons, like, you know, Pastor Ansu, just rest up, relax. You know, he's not real good at that, right? Right? And he said, you know what? He said, I'm coming to church on Sunday to praise God for my life. Right? And he did. He came on Sunday, and, you know, he normally does prayer. You know, and he's away today celebrating Vernon's mom's 60th birthday. But he's like, I want to be there, I want to pray, and I want to tell people what God did. So usually when we thank God, there's some occasion, something's happened to kind of get us out of the normal moaning and groaning and hustle and bustle of life, that we praise God. We stop back for a second and say, wait a minute, God's the one who is responsible for. I'll throw this out today. Can you imagine Wesley and Tashara today? Baby Samson is home, right? That is an occasion to praise God. And this is that occasion in David's life. By the way, he had lots of occasions, but this is one of them. And by the way, if you read through 1 Chronicles, and you read through chapter 15, chapter 14, chapter 13, right, that precedes this, like David's been through a whole lot of stuff. Remember, David was in this seemingly lifelong battle with the former king Saul, who God replaced with David, and they were fighting each other. David was running. He was with the enemy sometimes. He was in battles all the time. And now David actually takes the throne, and the tabernacle, which is, you know, the tabernacle, remember, is the tent, right? And in that tent is where we find the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, by the way, was kind of hidden with this guy, and his name was Obed-Edom. And it was hidden because all this craziness, all this chaos, kind of like what we're experiencing today, was going on in the nation of Israel. And it took a period of years and years to get through all that. And now, guess what? The Ark returns to Jerusalem. Worship is restored. David becomes the king, and now he writes a song. And he remembers that the reason this got done is because of an almighty God who was sovereign and able to control everything and work it out for David's good and the nation's good, just like he does for us. So check it out. Go with me to chapter 16, and we're going to look in verses 1 to 6 first, right? So you get the occasion. Here it is, right? And we'll just kind of break down. Look at the scripture. It says, so they brought the ark of God, and they set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And I want to throw this out to you guys. Here's an interesting thing. Anybody know anything about the ark? What could you not do with the ark? You couldn't touch it. And by the way, right, a couple chapters before this, they were carrying the ark. The ark began to slip, and someone touched it. And guess what happened? He died. God's holiness is that significant, right? So now this ark, right, is in Jerusalem. By the way, the guys who moved it the second time were a lot more careful, and they followed the principles and the procedure that God gave in the book of Leviticus how to get it. They had these big, long rods that they would feed through the rings in the ark so they didn't have to touch it, and it would give them more leverage. And they carried the ark so that no one had to touch it. It wouldn't fall. Everything would be okay. So they accomplished it the second time. By the way, it's not like us sometimes. You know, we have our ideas. We're going to do it this way. Oh, don't worry about it. And then some bad stuff happens, right? So David has gone through all this stuff. And look what it says. It says, so they brought the ark of God, and they set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And again, these are prescribed by God in his word. For the Jewish people, right, when good things happen, this is what you do. And he did it. And it says, and when David finished offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Now I want to stop for a second. And if you're kind of a Bible scholar in the Old Testament, who usually blesses the people? The priests. And I'm not going to go way off track here, but David, right, is ultimately the father of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, right? And Melchizedek was a priest. He was a prophet, priest, and a king. And David sort of is part of that picture. And David actually performs some priestly roles here in calling the nation to worship, blessing the nation. He wears priestly garments even when he does it in this case. And it said, and by the way, notice, who made the offering? What's it say? Who made the offering? David, right? David made the offering too. So he was doing all kinds of priestly functions because the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the ultimate high priest for us, and we read about that in the book of Hebrews, he is the one who is sort of being looked forward to here. So David does all these things. And by the way, look what he did next. So when David finished the offering and burnt offerings, the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Right? It's like, man, God bless you guys. And don't we use that like in such a slangy kind of way today? Somebody sneezes, God bless you. That's kind of a nice thing to say, I guess, but you know, God blesses. He blesses the people and says, look what God has done. And he blesses the people. And then look what happens next. It says, then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. They can't raise stuff. Mark, by the way, there's the menu for the Harvest of Praise breakfast. There it is, right? We're going to have a loaf of bread, a piece of meat. I guess we'll have bacon, then we can kind of do that one. And a cake of raisins. We have to come up with some kind of recipe, Mark, to do that. But he lays that out. And I'm going to throw this out. Notice what's happening, right? The leader is instructing the people and bringing all the people together to do what? Really worship God and give him thanks. And I want to challenge us as your spiritual leader. You know, Pastor Anthony's not here. He's my teammate. Guess what? We want to challenge all of us and challenge ourselves to stop this month for a second and thank the one from whom all the blessings that you have comes. Right? I know we're upset about everything. You know, I know that, you know, there's a lot of bad things going on. But guess what? Everyone under the sound of my voice right now, you're still alive. You're on the good side of the ground, right? We're still alive. We're still here. We're still able to eat. We're still able to do what God wants us to do. God is sustaining us, even though all the forces of hell are working against us. You know, and David calls these people out. He says, this is what we're going to do. And by the way, notice the next thing. I want to prepare you for this. Worship, and look at verse 4, it takes some preparation. It takes some thought. Like when we come to worship God and give him thanks, it takes some thought. And look what David does. It says, and he appointed some of the Levites, by the way, which God had set apart long before this in the law, to do what? To work in the temple, to do some of those key religious things that brought people to God. So he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. And I'm going to stop for a second. Why did he do that? You know why? Because the ark came back, and the ark went where it was over, where it was with Obed-Edom. Nobody was doing that. Like, worship had kind of fallen away, fallen apart. And he says, wait a second. We got to organize the people of God to worship the God who gives us everything, the God we love, the God who pours out all of his blessings on us. So he prepares their heart. Everybody look up. Do you think our hearts are prepared for worship a lot? Or thanks? Like, you know, we're thinking about everything else, everything that's bad, everything that's challenging. We're worried about everything. But here, David said, you know what? You're going to serve and you're going to work before the ark. And we're going to bring thanks and praise to God. And I want to challenge all of us. You know what? That's how we need to be thinking in this month. You know, I heard people were complaining online. I can't believe the Christmas stuff is out already. And some people were saying, hey, you know, it was out before Halloween even came. Like it used to be, you know, Black Friday follows Thanksgiving. We used to at least wait until we gave God thanks before we got all that stuff out there. And now Amazon has Black Friday in October or something, right? It's crazy, right? We live in this world. But here's the point. We kind of have to stop all that for a second before we get to Christmas and before we get to all those things and say, you know what? There's somebody that deserves my thanks and my praise, and his name is Jehovah God. Right? And that's really the key. And by the way, I just share something, just a quick aside, and we'll go on a long tangent on this, but notice that it says there, it says, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. How's that spelled, by the way? Pastor Gary, is something wrong with your eyes? No. Look, notice it says capital L-O-R-D. They're all caps, right? You know, and in the English Bible, when you see that, that represents the name Jehovah God. And he says, we're going to praise Jehovah God, the Almighty One, the one who is over everything. We're going to praise his name. And he says, look at the bottom. He says the same thing. He says, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the capital L-O-R-D, God of Israel. We're going to praise the Almighty God. We're going to give him thanks because he's the reason why we're here. And then notice, by the way, so he appoints these people, and then notice he gives their names. And Moses, right, we said, man, this is going to be hard. Moses had to read the scripture. Pronouncing these Hebrew names is no easy thing, is it, Moses? Here they are. Look at it. It says, Asaph the chief. That's not too bad. Next to him, Zechariah. Then Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliah, Benaiah, Obed-Edom. That's where who kept the ark, by the way, stashed away where it was safe. Jeiel with stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priest, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. So I want to stop and just say this. If David, who was the king, and the nation of Israel, who had kind of perfected the worship of God, had to prepare themselves for worship and thanks, what do you think about us? We got to kind of focus our attention on the God who gives us every blessing. By the way, Rosemary does an awesome job with Pastor Anselm and our praise team of bringing us out of, I have to say this, the mire, the muck, the mud, the mess of the week, and lift us up to the throne room of heaven where we can praise God. But here's the challenge. Rosemary cannot press the worship button in each of your hearts if you don't prepare it yourself. Amen? And David kind of set this up, and here he sets it up this way. We're going to skip on down. The offering of praise. By the way, I want you to get this. Praise and thanks is kind of like a whole body experience. Now, I know, like, we grew up, you know, in very conservative churches where it was hard to say amen or lift up our hands back in the day, right? So I'm one of them, right? It's like I feel funny going like this sometimes, right? But you know what? Praise God that some of you all grew up that way and you pulled us along. You might have drug us along, I guess, right, to where we need to be, right? But the offering of praise, what happens? And by the way, check this out. When I say it's kind of a whole body experience, look at what David commands. He says, on that day, David first delivered this psalm. And by the way, psalm just means a song, and it's a worship song unto God. It says, into the hands of Asaph. And by the way, if you read through the psalms, Asaph is often in the superscription. There's like a little italicized superscription above the psalm, and Asaph is often there. He's one of the chief musicians. So he delivers it to his musician and his brethren to thank the Lord. And look what he says. All these things, right, are words and thoughts that should come out of our mouth and out of our heart. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. So we think about thanksgiving as one of the pieces here. He says, call upon his name. Say his name, right? Jehovah, God, Jesus, thank you so much. Right? Make known his deeds among the people. And by that's what we're talking about when we talk about sharing testimonies. You know what? We need to hear that the God we read about works for real. Right? That's what we want to hear from you. Not just me or Pastor Ansu or some reverend guy. We can share too, right? But we want to hear from you guys. Look what God did. Look what God has done, right? He says, make known his deeds among the peoples. And he says this, sing to him. You know what's kind of sad? We talk about this in staff meeting. Sometimes we try to plan a worship service that involves everybody. And I know everyone doesn't know every song, but sometimes you see people and they're like, I want to challenge you. Sing to him. By the way, my voice isn't great. I really sing hard. They turn off my mic. But, sing to God, right? Sing to God. Sing to him because, like, let that joyful noise come out of your mouth that God is who he says he is. And he's your God, and he's helped you, right? And he says, talk of all his wondrous works. Again, there's that idea of testifying. Look what God has done. Look what he's done. By the way, Stuart, we should hear a testimony from you coming up this year, I hope, right? Amazing things that God has done, right? You know, look at that. And he says, glory in his name. And by the way, what is that? I had to look up. What does that word really mean? The idea is this, praise God, praise his name. And he goes on, he says, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. You know, hopefully as we thank God and as we seek God, man, it just moves our heart in a different way. I know Isaac is going to share about the house of worship today. And he wants to see that happen in the hearts of our young people, that there's a heart that's connected to God and rejoices in who God is and what he is doing. Right? That's the idea. He says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. And how about this one? Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. I want to challenge us, again, in the haste and the speediness of our lives, don't we forget the good things a lot? You hear people say this, oh, yeah, I remember God did do that. But we almost have to be sort of, you know, provoked to kind of trigger our memories. But he says, get your whole body involved. Get your mouth involved. Give thanks. Call on his name. Sing to him. Talk about him. Praise him, rejoice in your heart, seek the Lord with your will. Remember the great things that God has done. It's like a whole body experience of thanksgiving and praise. And by the way, you know, I'm not picking on you if you kind of stand in church sometimes and don't sing. Just try. You know, for our young people, sometimes it's not cool to sing, right? You know, my friends might think that I really love God. You know, but it's okay. That's what we want them to do, right? It's okay. You know, for all of us, like, let God engage our spirits, right, is the idea. So we're going to slide down as we continue. So that's kind of the first 13 verses. And by the way, look what he says about this memory part. He says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. So now, we are not Jews, but the covenant to Israel blesses us. And we can go all the way back, right, to the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 18, talk about that same thing. God made an unconditional covenant to Abraham that would bless the entire world. And he says this, and by the way, what's the blessing of Abraham's covenant? You know what it is? Your and my salvation. Right? If he didn't call Abraham, by the way, Abraham, you know, we kind of think that Judaism and this faith that followed God goes all the way back to the beginning. God called Abraham out of idolatry to be a follower and a worshiper of the living God. Just like he calls us who grew up in all kinds of other places, maybe a different God, maybe a different faith, maybe no faith at all, but God has called us out of all that stuff, right? And to remember his covenant forever. You know what? We stand on the living God and his promise to save the people by faith who will trust him. Right? That's an amazing thing. So he says, remember his covenant forever. He says, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance when you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to the other and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. And I want to say this. There is so much happening in our world right now, Israel and Gaza, and Israel is the object of so much hatred. Some maybe deserve, some not. But guess what? They're God's chosen people, and God is not going to forsake his covenant with that people. And that covenant with that people for the land is the same covenant that gives us salvation in Jesus Christ and promises that we have a spot in heaven forever. Remember those things. And I want to challenge us, right? Get that whole body involved. And a big part of that is remembering what the Lord has done. And I want to tell everybody, look up for a second. Let's be real for a second. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard for us to remember those things today? Why? What do you think? We go our own way. You know, we're so wrapped up in everything else. Huh? Do you guys feel wrapped up in your lives? You know, if you have kids and grandkids, you know, all that stuff, you're kind of wrapped up in that, right? You know, if you're working, you're kind of wrapped up in work because you got to be to some level, right? If you're in school, you're kind of wrapped up in that. But what this idea is, as we commemorate Thanksgiving, like David did, is we sort of step back for a second and we focus our minds and our hearts on who gave us all the blessings we enjoy. We got to kind of sort of step back, got to kind of unlock ourselves from all those things that just bind us up, and we got to say, wow, remember who did that. You know, we only stand in God's grace physically and certainly spiritually, right? We only stand there that way. Oh, I went down a little quick. Let me go back one. Andrea, take me back when I was a little quick on that one. And then, by the way, notice what he says again. And by the way, this is a song, right? So songs have verses, and songs have choruses, right? And notice the chorus here again kind of gets the whole body involved. Look what he says. He says, sing to the Lord all the earth. All the earth proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Those involve our mouth you know, our ideas first and declaring to God what he's done. And he says, his wonders among all peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. And by the way, notice this next word. It's kind of an interesting thought. He says, give to the Lord. In other words, when we thank and we praise God, we literally give back to him something of ourselves. Our time, our all. But when I say all, I don't mean A-L-L, I mean A-W-E. You know, we say the word awesome. But think about this for a second. We use that word awesome. That was an awesome game. That pizza was awesome. That jollof rice was awesome, right? Let me say this. None of that's really awesome. Only God is awesome, really, right? Right? You know, that was an awesome shot. That was an awesome touchdown. That was an awesome goal. They were all good, but God is really awesome, right? And he says that. He says, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord that kind of praise, that kind of thanks, that kind of, you know, relationship and connection. He says, oh, families of the people, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord praise and give him your strength. And he says, give to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering and come before him. And he even throws it out, bring an offering. You know, in that day, an offering wasn't usually coins or money. An offering was an animal, which, by the way, was worth a lot of coins and a lot of money. Like, it showed people that, you know what? God is really worthy of my praise because I'm going to give him something that costs a lot. King David said this way back in the scriptures. He said, I refuse to give to God something that costs me nothing. Again, think about that. Like, in our culture, like, you know, we sort of praise God in a very flippant kind of way sometimes, very loose and very, you know, free, you know, nothing matters kind of way. But he says, you know what? Give God, bring that offering and come before him. He says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. By the way, you've heard that phrase before, right? We've kind of sung that in our Psalms. It comes from right here from Chronicles from David. He says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Everybody look up for a second. What's he saying? You know what a great worship would be to God? That we give him a life that's obedient and set apart to him. Like, that could be a good theme for November, right? God, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for what you've done. I am going to focus, God, on being obedient to you, and my life is going to be more set apart to you than it normally is. Makes sense, right? It's like this whole body thing, right? I'm talking, I'm singing, I'm praising, I'm testifying. And now I'm going to give God me, my time, my obedience, right? And that's a challenge, right? Think about it with our children. That's such a challenge. It says, and it shall not be moved. So check this out. By the way, David's a pretty good preacher, isn't he? Kind of too, right? He lays this out. And by the way, he's the king, so guess what? Everybody's got to listen to him. I'm sure if they had watches in that day, no one was looking at their watch. Right? They were like, we got to hear this guy. He's the boss. He's the king. And by the way, not only was he the king, he was God's king. Because a lot of kings, like, you don't want to hear what they say. But he was God's king, and he spoke some real stuff right here that mattered, right? And I want to ask you a question. So what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Did they do it? Did they not do it? You probably said, well, I haven't read Chronicles for a long time. I'm not sure. Well, check out what happened. First, he interjects. He says, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Right? And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. He gives us a little bit of a pattern here, right? Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. I'm going to take this out. You know what he's doing? He is basically personifying nature as God's creation that sings his praises. when you go outside, and we had a chance, we were away and to a wedding with Sarah and Brendan yesterday up in Harrisburg, and the trees were immaculate, beautiful, right? It's like they are praising God. They're just so beautiful. And by the way, you know, fall is the season when the leaves are dying. Isn't it amazing? That's probably the most beautiful color on the tree all year, right? They're just like praising God. And you see, you go outside, you're just like, whoa. And he personifies nature to do what? To get us to praise God like the rest of his creation does. I want to throw this out. Think about that. If all of creation seems like it's praising God, what in the world are we doing? You think about that? Everything else is lifted up. By the way, trees grow up, plants grow up. They're all kind of lifting up their branches and their hands toward God. What in the world are the people of God doing? A lot of times, not too much of that, right? So you're still saying, well, what happened? What happened? What did the people do? And check out what they did. The application of praise happens, and here's what they did. Look what it says. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name. In other words, God, do all the things that you need to do to set us apart to yourself. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And by the way, notice what the people said. They didn't say, oh, David, you're so boring. We got better things to do than that. Look what the people said. Read it with me. The last line. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. So I want to ask the question today. This is our close, right? What do all the people say? Amen. Right? And we're good at doing it right now, but I want to challenge us to set aside that time to sort of remember what God said, remember what God did, and really thank him and prepare yourself, plan, how am I going to thank God? And by the way, how is that going to spill over into the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends? Shouldn't they see us as a people, as the people of God who are a thankful people and a people that point to him as the source of all the blessings that we have? And by the way, David didn't know a whole lot about Jesus. We have even more to thank him for because we know the end of the story. Christ came, he died, he rose again, and when we put our faith and trust in him, we are guaranteed to have salvation from our sin and an eternal home in heaven forever, right? So that ought to kind of stir us up, remembering what did God do? Amen? So I want to challenge us. That's sort of the pathway that we need to think about this morning. We'll go down one more slide there. What is our response? What is our response? By the way, turn down that light, those lights in the back there, Andrea. Think about all of nature, right? You can turn them all the way off on the whole platform. All of nature, right, is just praising God. What will we do? And I want to challenge us. Let's really praise him this year. Step back and count our blessings, not what we don't have. Let's really try to focus on, man, God has done some great things for me. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the examples of this godly man, David, who in the midst of all the challenges of life and all the difficulties of this world, teaches us how to praise you. And I ask, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to adopt those lessons. I pray, dear God, that we would prepare. I pray, Lord, that we would engage all of our being. And I pray, dear God, that you would cause us to remember the things that we are thankful for. And I ask, dear God, that you would use our lips, our voices, Lord, all of our bodies to bring thanksgiving and praise to you in this season. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So our praise team is going to come up, and we're going to lead you guys in praise. I want to say one last thing as they're coming up. You guys, see these little flags, pennants, right? We're going to create a chain of thanksgiving that we hope will cover this entire auditorium all the way around. And it takes you to help us do it. So as you leave today, we have a whole bunch of these to give out. Our children are working on it as well. And we're going to kind of mount them up week to week. But we're going to ask you guys, take one of these, write your name on it, and give us at least one thing that you are thankful for this season. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to turn it over to Rosemary and our praise team to lead us in praise and thanksgiving.
Everyone, please stand and sing with us. We're going to start with I Sing Praises.
Big amen, isn't it?
Amen.
You know what? A lot of us can't sing like kindness, right? But we can give God glory, and we can remember what he did. We can share his praises. And when we share that to God, it sounds just as good as kindness singing, right? Amen to that, right? And that's what God's looking for from us today. as you leave, take one of those. The important thing is when you take it, give it back. Write your name on it. Write what you're thankful for. Bring it back next week, or if you're afraid you're going to forget, do it in the lobby before you leave today. And we're going to just hang our praises all the way around. Maybe we go around twice. I don't know. But think about all the things that God has done for you. Let's close with a word of prayer. If there's any need that you guys have today, anyone may doesn't know, you know, Jesus as their Savior, and they're like, man, I want something like that, please grab me at the door. We're going to dismiss any our visitor. Who's our visitors today? Just raise your hand. Step out. You can go back first and join Jonathan. He has a little gift for you guys just to commemorate your visit. And the rest of us, I just encourage you guys, take a minute to encourage each other. And by the way, remember, our children's praise musical is coming up, right? So if you're a parent, you want to see your kids involved, your kids want to be involved, it's going to be right here in the front with Rosemary. And then anyone who signed up for the House of Worship, parents as well as students, please come. It's going to be right after that meeting. First meeting's kind of short. Second meeting's slightly longer, but it's going to get us engaged in perfecting that praise to our God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, dear God, for the many, many blessings, Lord, that you give us, Lord. Without you, we would have nothing. And we just give you thanks and praise, especially for Jesus and especially for the salvation that we enjoy in him. Lord, go with us this week and give us a thankful heart. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.